Installhub.com, streamlining your installations.
Hey you, thanks for listening to the pod. Be sure to like and subscribe. We've made it to Monday the 27th of November, so let's see what's been happening this week. Starting with this, when a fire ripped through a car park at Luton Airport last month, it set off a round of speculation that an electric vehicle was to blame. The theory was quickly doused by the Bedfordshire Fire Service, which said the blaze appeared to have started in a diesel car. Yet the rumour refused to be quelled, spreading on social media like wildfire, excuse the pun. Even when these stories are partially debunked, they do come back as zombie myths that refuse to die. All the data shows that EVs are much less likely to set on fire than their petrol equivalents, said Colin Walker, who's the head of transport at the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit think tank. The many, many fires that you have for petrol or diesel cars just aren't reported. Fires can start in several ways. Car batteries store energy by moving lithium ions inside a battery cell. So just to put the myth at bay, fires can start in several ways. Car batteries store energy by moving lithium ions inside a battery cell. But if cells are penetrated or if impurities from manufacturing errors cause short circuits, then of course unwanted chemical reactions can start a thermal runway where cells can heat up rapidly, releasing toxic and flammable gas. Now, in petrol cars, fires can start via electrical faults, causing sparks or if the engine overheats because of a fault in the cooling system, potentially igniting flammable fuel. So basically, they're both at risk. So there is actually no worry that if you purchase an electric vehicle, it might just set on fire. No more than if you were to purchase an ICE engine vehicle. So for those of you still considering an EV or already in one, you might be pleased to hear this. A reborn Toyota Celica is being debated as part of a new era of electric sports cars from the Japanese manufacturer that will also include the return of the MR2, a more diverse range of the new Toyota and Lexus models, encompassing everything from small mid-engine sports cars to vast crossovers. It has been made possible by a remarkable new modular electric car architecture that brings with it a level of flexibility never before seen in the industry. The first model to use the new architecture will be a low, sleek Lexus Saloon, which is due in 2026 and was previewed by the recent LFZC concept car at the Japanese Mobility Show in Tokyo. More manufacturing news, Cadillac's next EV, the Optiq, continues a trend of misspelt names. Now, some call it Optiq, some call it Optiq. Now, Cadillac continues to wreak havoc on the world's autocorrect software with the introduction of the new EV. It's a compact crossover that'll slot between the midsize Lyriq and the Optiq is expected to arrive sometime in 2024 as a 2025 model. Now, we know next to nothing about the upcoming Cadillac. Now, we know nothing about this upcoming Cadillac. They only dropped a pair of images late last week with no specs or information. Additional details, as well as available features and pricing, will be unveiled next year, Cadillac has said in a statement. Now, when it arrives, it'll compete with small electric SUVs from around the globe, including the Audi Q4 e-tron and the Genesis G460 and the Mercedes-Benz EQB and more. Pricing should start somewhere in the range of around £40,000, but we'll have all official confirmation sometime by Cadillac in 2024. Now, I always let you know on this pod what's going on globally. So just as Australia, state and federal regulations are being adapted to the transition to electric semi-trucks, local councils are being urged to examine their regulations to allow quiet, less polluting electric delivery trucks to operate at night. These trucks could then charge during the day using cheap solar and reducing running costs. Currently, curfews on noisy diesel trucks stop them operating at night. Would it be possible to exempt the electric vehicles from this law? Although you could argue an electric garbage truck would still probably be noisy. Electric delivery trucks could transform how cities operate. We don't have to build more roads and we get less congestion during the day. It would be a win-win, says Volvo's e-mobility solutions manager Tim Calamari. SEA was founded in Australia in 2012. Currently, it is headquartered in the USA. SEA Electrical launched its first model in 2017 and has since released several medium and heavy-duty commercial electric vehicles, including delivery trucks, garbage trucks, tipper trucks, tilt tray trucks, and refer trucks, cherry picker trucks, school buses, shuttle buses, cargo vans, and passenger vans. SEA's electric SEA drive power system is adaptable to most OEM Gilda chassis platforms from class 3 to class 8, so that's 3.5 foot to 29. SEA has developed over 200 vehicles to date globally. These are front engine cab chassis rigid trucks and delivery vans. SEA has a process in place to return batteries to their county of origin, where they are redeployed in large scale storage farms. Huge news this month. Toyota has inked a deal to mass-produce solid-state EV batteries with 932-mile range. Toyota has struck a deal with fellow Japanese company Idemitsu Kosen to mass-produce ultra-high-range EVs with solid-state batteries. It's the first major update on the company's plans to be the first to offer these next-gen batteries. Toyota says the new technology will eventually enable EVs to go to 932 miles on a single charge and power up in just 10 minutes due to the higher energy density. Idemitsu Kosen is Japan's second largest oil refiner, and they may seem like an unlikely partner for the EV space, but Toyota says that Idemitsu has been working on developing the elemental technologies for the batteries since 2001. That's 5 years before Toyota began purchasing them in 2006. So if this all goes to plan, it could be a real game changer for EVs moving forward. Beno said on Monday that former Renault and Jaguar Land Rover CEO Thierry Bellour has joined the British Electric Vehicle Suppliers Advisory Board as a strategy advisor. In September, Beno, which makes electric powertrain vans for automaker Stellantis, launched a service to convert thousands of diesel vans to electric hybrids. That business is launching initially in France to take advantage of the government subsidies for retrofitting fossil fuel models. After serving as CEO of Renault after the arrest of former CEO Carlos Ghosn in 2018, Bellour spent 2 years as CEO of Tata Motors unit JLR before stepping down in late 2022, citing personal reasons. In a statement, Bellour said he was looking forward to sharing his knowledge with Beno in support of pursuing the company's mission to electrify transportation. Now, there's a long list of excuses for being late for a meeting, from traffic jams to train cancellations. But now, of course, you may be receiving the brand new convincing edition of My EV Failed to Charge Overnight. Problems with plugging in or power tripping off can be a nuisance for anyone, but for many fleets, they are a nightmare. Any organisation needs to know that when its vehicles are plugged in at the office or depot, that they are actually charging, so that when the cables are unplugged, the vehicles are of course ready to go. Experience, however, indicates that a potent cocktail of human error, hardware faults, power cuts, or internet outage can interrupt charging and leave a vehicle unprepared for its next duty cycle. As a result, fleet facilities and transport managers need an aftercare solution to maintain chargers in serviceable conditions and monitor chargers in real time, including overnight, so they can instantly spot and diagnose any faults that do occur and provide a swift fix. After all, a charger that is out of action, even for a couple of days, could hamstring a business for that time. The first step to 24/7 charger uptime occurs before a spade has even broke the ground to lay power cables, says Graham Rowlands, Managing Director of Devitec, which provides commercial EV charging installation support and aftercare. Now, this is definitely something that people should consider putting in place. It's almost like an EV charging insurance, almost, but it's worth its weight in gold. In other news, Mercedes-Benz has officially launched its network of premium electric vehicle charging stations across North America with an integration of its first charging hub. part of Mercedes-Benz HPC North America, a joint venture between the manufacturer and the Emanate Energy. The new EV charging network seeks to offer a premium experience while also promoting EV adoption. Located at the company's US headquarters in Sandy Springs, Georgia, the facility aims to set a new standard for fast, convenient, clean, and reliable EV charging services. This charging hub is the first step in Mercedes-Benz's commitment to investing over $1 billion as part of the joint venture to deliver 2,500 chargers within at least 400 charging hubs across North America by the end of the decade. The first chargers installed are provided by ChargePoint and are all capable of charging rates of up to 400 kilowatts. Charging hub customers can enjoy a premium, clean and comfortable environment, complete with couches and lounge chairs, vending machines, refreshments and a restroom facility. In addition, a solar canopy is installed on top to generate passive clean electricity as part of its mission to ensure a carbon neutral service. A UK startup that advances electric machines has raised £23 million to scale up production of its electric vehicle motors that contain no rare earths or copper, so they are entirely recyclable. The Series A funding round was led by Legal & General Unit, Legal & General Capital and Barclays from their Sustainable Impact campaign that invests in climate startups. AEM said on Monday. Based in Washington, in England's industrial northeast, AEM already has a commercial rare earth-free motor in use in electric buses and other vehicles in Europe, North America and Asia also, said CEO James Widmere. The investment round will enable the company to start producing an EV motor that is also free of copper for both passenger cars and commercial vehicles. Those motors can boost an EV's range by at least 10%. Now, this is great news here in the UK. British Gas is offering EV drivers 1 year of free charging. You heard me correct. Now, British Gas is offering electric vehicle drivers a year's worth of the free charging if they install one of its Hive home chargers. Customers will benefit from up to 8,000 miles of free EV charging within a 12-month period, capped at 2,290 kilowatts. The offer is available to new and existing British Gas electricity customers who have a smart meter and purchase one of the Hive's EV chargers. Customers don't need a specific tariff, and chargers can be ordered with or without installation by British Gas, either through Hive or one of its partners. Gav Murray, Director of Hive at British Gas, said we are on a mission to do all we can to make greener home solutions more affordable and accessible. As more electric vehicles hit the road, we want to make sure the right products are available for those who are able to make the switch and encourage as many people to do so as possible. On now to solar news. The largest publicity-owned solar farm in Greater Manchester is ready to be switched on next month and will eventually provide enough electricity to power 2,000 homes. The 10-hectare site on former grazing land next to the A58 at Chamberhouse Farm in Haywood has seen 10,000 ground-mounted solar panels fitted in the past few months. The electricity produced will be linked to the national grid and used to offset Rochdale Council's energy bill, potentially saving the authority hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. The council's successful bid for the £3.3 million funding from the European Regional Development Fund, the ERDF, to make the project viable. Construction started at the beginning of this year and the solar farm is expected to be energised in stages during December and will begin to export power in early 2024. More than 8,000 hedges, shrubs and trees have been planted at the site to increase biodiversity. In other solar news, Co-Monaghan-based Active 8 Solar Energies is expanding its operations into the Scottish market. The company said the move marks a significant milestone in its mission to make sustainable energy accessible and affordable to a wider market outside of Ireland. It said its expansion to Scotland will include a total of 15 projects in the commercial market to be completed by December this year. It also has an ambitious plan for 30 more in 2024. Now this is very exciting. Ola Englund has changed the metal guitar game with ultra-affordable S by Solar, which is a new brand they've launched, and prices start from just $219. Now, Solar guitar founder Ola Englund has announced his latest electric guitar venture, which could have a game-changing effect on the budget metal guitar and cheap electric guitar markets. In a rather significant move in the world of metal, the YouTuber and entrepreneur has lifted the curtain on the S by Solar. It's an entirely new offshoot guitar brand that looks to provide ultra-affordable instruments to beginners and intermediate players. 70 models across 6 body shapes categories have been introduced, with not one of them costing above $350. So a Solar electric guitar. Now we are talking. Obviously, providing your gigs are abroad. I'm not sure that would work for the likes of our rock bands here in the UK, but the concept and the initiative is brilliant. Speaking of England, a small Somerset village could soon be dwarfed by solar panels if plans for a new solar farm are approved. The new solar farm, dubbed Bluebell Wood, could provide enough power for 1/3 of all homes in the former Mendip area, or around 6% of all properties in Somerset. Somerset Council is expected to make a decision on the plans early in the new year. Solar energy could power all health facilities in poorer countries and save lives, experts are saying. I would like the international community to commit to a deadline and funding to electrify all healthcare facilities, said Salvatore Vinci, who is an advisor on sustainable energy at the World Health Organization and a member of its COP28 delegation. We have solutions now that were not available 10 years ago. There is no reason why babies should be dying today because there is not electricity to power their incubators. It's a low-hanging fruit. There is nothing stopping us. About 1 billion people around the world do not have access to healthcare facilities with a stable electricity connection, including 433 million in low-income countries who rely on facilities with no electricity at all, according to the WHO's Energizing Health Accelerating Electricity Access in Healthcare Facilities report, which was published in January and co-authored by Vinci himself. Now on to green tech news. Allegedly, Altman, one of the co-founders of OpenAI, which developed ChatGPT, was dismissed on Friday earlier in the month. OpenAI said that the move followed a deliberative review process by the board, which concluded Mr. Altman was not consistently candid in his communications with the board. The statement said his behaviour was hindering the board's ability to exercise its responsibilities. Apparently, there are now reports that suggest he could be making a swift comeback to the company he helped form, and they are currently in talks again. In other green tech news, West Yorkshire has been confirmed as the UK's third investment zone in a bid to provide business support to the region's life science and health tech companies. The government, which made the announcement ahead of the autumn statement, said the plans could create more than 2,500 jobs over the next 5 years and unlock £220 million in investments. It will provide tax relief and other business incentives to more than 600 life science companies based in the region. The West Yorkshire Investment Zone will be based around the universities and business clusters in the cities of Leeds, Bradford and Huddersfield. Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, said it will mean thousands more jobs in the exciting industries of the future, backed up by better infrastructure and companies to be proud of. And finally, amid a global race for green tech sovereignty, the European Parliament on Tuesday passed a Net Zero Industry Act, a bill intended to boost the EU's manufacturing output in the technologies needed for decarbonisation. Initially proposed by the Commission in March, the NZIA sets a couple of ambitious goals. Firstly, it seeks to ensure that at least 40% of the bloc's net zero technology demand is produced domestically by 2030. Secondly, it aims to capture 25% of the global market share for these technologies. To achieve this, the Act proposes several key actions to drive investment in domestic production of strategic technologies, spanning from solar and wind power to carbon capture, battery storage and renewable hydrogen. The measures include the acceleration of permits, a designated platform to enable the cooperation between the Commission and member states, the increase of skilled workers. With their Tuesday vote, MPs suggested the expansion of the draft legislation scope to cover the entire supply chain of net zero technologies, including components, materials and production machinery. They also proposed a more comprehensive list of technologies and added nuclear fission, fusion technologies and sustainable aviation fuels. So that is all from me. You are now up to date with EV, solar and green tech. And what a busy few weeks it has been. From everybody here at InstallHub, we thank you greatly for liking, subscribing and telling your friends about our pod. And remember, we can always help to streamline your installations, engage, track and manage customers and installation life cycles with greater efficiency and simplicity by using our InstallHub software. If you'd like to find out more, visit installhub.com. From everybody here and of course myself, you have a fantastic, successful week.